half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist John Getch. It was presented in October of 2003. The title of the message, What is Truth?
Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah and chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. We'll read a few verses here to begin with, and then if you'll keep your Bible open, we'll look at several others in just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 40. I'll begin to read with verse number 6 and read down through verse 9. Isaiah 40 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "The voice said, Cry. He said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold your God." What you believe about God tonight is the most important thing about you. What you believe about God is the most important thing about you. A lot of people today have various opinions about who God is. But I love to go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about God. I love, for instance, 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 2, where it says, "There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy go out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him are actions weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken. They that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. For the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. For the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up again. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill to set them among princes that they may inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the worlds upon them. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them until they be destroyed. For by strength shall no man prevail." The Bible declares over and over again that we have tonight an awesome God. Do you realize tonight that without God, we're nothing? Now, without us, God is still God. But without God, we are nothing. What kind of a God do you have tonight? Who is your God? There are three awesome characteristics, I believe, found in Isaiah chapter 40 about our God. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight that God is above all things. God is above all things, for He is the creator of all things. Nothing compares to Him. Nothing can be likened to God that we see in this universe, because God is above all things. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 12 here in Isaiah chapter 40, and let me read several verses for you. In verse number 12, it says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Did you notice twice in that text he says, who are you going to compare me to? Who are you going to liken me to? There is nothing that you and I can look at in this universe tonight that compares to God, for he is above all things. He created it. The Bible says in Exodus 20 and verse 11, in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. In Job 9 and verse 1, I know it is so of a truth, but how can a man be just with God? If he contend with him, he cannot answer him one in a thousand. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place and the pillars thereof tremble, which calleth Arcturus and Orion and Pleiades and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. In Job 12 and verse 7, ask now the beasts and they'll tell thee. Speak to the earth, it'll teach thee. The fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Yea, who knoweth not that in all these the hand of the Lord hath wrought? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. In Job 26 and verse 7, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. In Psalm 33 and verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them. By the breath of his mouth he hath established the heavens, and his hands formed the dry land. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Oh, we have an awesome God tonight. Nothing compares to him. He's above all things. We as humans, we get to thinking that we're really something. You know, man looks at his technology today and all of his abilities, and we think, boy, look what man can do. You know, we're not as big as we think we are. You know that the solar system that we live in tonight is 6 billion miles across. Now, how much is a billion? Do you know that it takes 36 years for 1 billion seconds to tick off your clock? 36 years. So if you're 36 years old, you're 1 billion seconds old. 1 billion is a long time. And our solar system tonight is 6 billion miles across. The galaxy that we live in is called the Milky Way. But the Milky Way, they tell us in science, if you were to be able to step back in space and look at the Milky Way from a distance, it would look like a giant bowl or a giant dish. Now, if you could get on one end of this Milky Way called the this galaxy called the Milky Way, and if you could travel at the speed of light, which is 186,282 miles per second, if you could travel at that speed tonight, It would take you 100,000 years to cross this galaxy called the Milky Way. The nearest star to us is the sun. The next nearest star is 26 trillion miles away. Scientists tell us that if you could go to that star and take with you the world's most powerful telescope, and when you got there, you were to set up that telescope on that star, and you were to point it back toward the Earth and look through it, you wouldn't see the Earth, because we don't have a telescope that powerful. According to science encyclopedias, it states that there was a comet spotted that had a head 112,000 miles across, had a tail 115 million miles long. The supernova that was recently discovered has 10 septillion. Now we're getting into the big numbers. That's a 10 with 24 zeros after it. Some of you kids think you want to be a millionaire someday. Let me give you some advice. Forget that petty cash. We got millionaires on every corner anymore. Be a septillionaire. Do something with your life, for crying out loud. A 10 with 24 zeros after, 10 septillion. The supernova has 10 septillion times more energy in it tonight than the hydrogen bomb. You see why David walked out one night in Psalm 19 and he said, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lines go out to the ends of the earth. Their words to the ends of the world." Oh, look at verse 15. It says there again, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance." God chooses that illustration to provide for us what the nations are like in his sight tonight, as the dust of the balance, a drop in the bucket. Verse 17 says, "All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and vanity." If you took all the nations of the world tonight and you put them over here on one side of the scale, the superpowers, with all their military muscle and all of their technology and all of their resources and all their manpower, the medium-sized nations, the little bitty nations, put them all over here on one side of the scale and put God over here on the other side. And God says, compared to me, they are below zero. Less than nothing. Where does that put me? Well, verse 22, right in the middle of the verse, it says, "The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers." You see, we're not as big as we think we are. We have a great God tonight. The psalmist said, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the sides of the north, the city of that great king." Jeremiah said, "The Lord is the true God. He's the living God. He is an everlasting king. Nothing compares to him. He is above all things." But notice secondly tonight, he is aware of everything. He's aware of everything. You know, when you think about God and his power and his magnificence, it's easy to think, he doesn't care about me. I mean, a God that powerful, a God that magnificent and mighty, he doesn't care if I'm saved or not. He doesn't care if I'm right with God or not. He doesn't care about my aches and pains. He doesn't care about my burdens, my trials. What does a God like that care about little old me, one of 6.2 billion people walking around on planet Earth right now? What does a God like that have to do with me? And it's easy, perhaps, like the psalmist of old who said, "God hath forgotten. He hideth his eyes. He'll never see it." We think sometimes that our burdens and our trials and our heartaches, God never sees it. He's much too big for that. He's much too important for him to worry about little old me. What does it matter if I'm saved? What does it matter if I'm a Christian? What does it matter if I live for God or not? What does it matter if I have a little sin in my life? It really doesn't matter. But we're wrong. For look at verse number 27, if you will. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. God is aware of everything. You know, when you think about God, particularly in creation, it's fun to think about the big things, the things that God has made that are beyond our finite understanding. But when you think about creation, you also have to think about the details of that creation, the specifics of it. For instance, you know that our earth is tilted on its axes, right? Whenever you see a globe, it's always tilted on its axes. Do you know that science tells us that if our earth was tilted just 1 degree, one direction, we would all freeze to death? If it was tilted just 1 degree the other direction, we would all burn up. So our earth is tilted at an exact degree of angle in space so that life can inhabit this planet we call the earth. Now remember, that globe over in the school library or in some office somewhere, it's on a stand. If you go up to that globe and give it a spin, it remains at that same angle because a stand is holding it in that angle. But Job 26:7, we quoted it a minute ago, he stretcheth the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. So our earth is tilted at an exact degree of angle tonight, yet hanging on nothing. And as you're contemplating those facts, remember that while our earth is tilted at an exact degree of angle, hanging on nothing, remember it's also spinning. Once every 24 hours, exactly. And while you contemplate those three facts, the fact that it's tilted at an exact degree of angle, hanging on nothing, spinning every 24 hours, remember it's also revolving around the sun. And if that's not enough to boggle our minds, now scientists tell us that while our earth is tilted at an exact degree of angle, hanging on nothing, spinning every 24 hours, revolving around the sun, they tell us that our entire solar system is moving at a speed of 68,000 miles per second toward the star Lyra. Aren't you glad God never takes a nap? Aren't you glad God never loses control? Can you imagine what would happen in this universe if God, for just a split second, lost it? But oh no. He's not only created it according to Psalm 119 and verse 91, but he has established it according to his ordinances. You see, all the laws of gravity, the laws of thermodynamics, all the laws of science that God created with this world system keep it all operating in perfect control because God has paid attention to the details. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them does not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know, I used to read that verse there in Matthew 10, and I used to think, man, that is amazing. God knows how many hairs are in my head. But I got to thinking about it one day, that's really not what it says. Now, I'm sure that God does know how many hairs are in my head. But we could figure that out. We could have someone count them. But the verse says that even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now let that sink in a minute. Every hair in your head has a number with God. So when you took your shower this morning or this evening, and that hair went down the bathroom drain, that was number 39. You should be more careful. You'll never get another number 39. They're all numbered. Now listen, if God has a number on every hair on the top of this head, and every eyebrow hair has a number, and every eyelash hair, and every whisker hair, every hair in my head, if everyone has a number, don't you think God knows if I'm saved today? If God has watched every bird that has fallen to the ground today in death, don't you think God knows whether you're right with God or not? If God can call the stars by their names, verse 26 says he can. We don't even know how many stars are in this galaxy alone, much less the world. Yet God can call them all by name tonight as he looks out the portals of heaven. Don't you think God knows about your aches and pains and your prayer requests? Why, how foolish we'd be to say, my way is hid from the Lord. We're not hiding anything from God tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 90 and verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance. O God, thou knowest my foolishness. My secret sins are not hid from thee. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, will not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Jesus said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard. Heard in the light. That which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed from the housetops. Why? Because neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God is aware tonight of everything. But notice thirdly, not only is God above all things and aware of everything, God is able to do anything. I love verses 29 through 31. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Nothing's impossible for God to do. He's able to do anything. I like the way Jeremiah put it in chapter 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thy stretched out arm, and there's nothing too hard for thee. Do we believe that tonight? Nothing too hard for God? You know, sometimes it seems like there are things that even God can't do. It seems like some people are just too hard to get saved. Sometimes it seems like our financial mountains are just too big for God to have a solution. Sometimes the family problems we deal with and the situations in life just seem impossible. And by the way, we're in good company, for God came to Abraham one day, that friend of God, and he said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And Abraham laughed in his heart. He said, God, I know you promised me a son, but that was a long time ago. I'm 99 years old. Sarah, bless her heart, she's a good woman, but she's 90. We're past the age of bearing children. Biologically, it was impossible. But you know what God said? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I love what Genesis 21 and verse 1 says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Why? Because you see, with men it was impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You may be here tonight thinking, I can't get saved. I've heard about this matter of being a Christian. I've heard about it, and I'd like to go to heaven and all of that, but God couldn't save me. Look at all the wicked things I've done. I'm too bad of a person. No one would want me. No one would love me. God can't save me. Oh, dear friend, the Bible says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for you. If you're here tonight as a sinner, there's a God in heaven who's praying for you to be saved tonight. He can save you. He saved the woman at the well. She had had five husbands and was now living with a man that wasn't her husband, but God saved her, changed her life. He saved the maniac of Gadara. Here was a guy living in a cemetery, crying and cutting himself with stones. They tried to bind him with fetters and chains, but he plucked the chains asunder, broke the fetters in pieces. Why? Because he had 2,000 devils calling themselves a legion living inside his body. But God saved him. Changed his life. God can save you. There's nothing impossible for God. You say, but preacher, as a Christian, there are things in my life. There's a sinful habit. I just can't conquer it. It's just a part of me. I've tried to give it up. Listen, the Bible says there is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There is nothing that God cannot do. He can sustain us. He can meet our needs. He can forgive. He can cleanse. He can give everything that we need in our life if we'll just come to Him. Nothing's impossible. You say, Brother Getch, I believe that God is a great God. And I'd like to see Him do some great things. How am I able to see that? How am I able to see God do some miracles in my life? Well, we all like point one. God's above all things. That's exciting. We all like point three. God's able to do anything. It's that second point we trip over. He's aware of everything. And you see, friend, God's able to save you tonight, but not unless you're willing to admit that you're lost. And that's where we stumble. We say, but aren't I good enough to go to heaven? I mean, I go to church. I'm a good person. I try to do right. God can't save you until you come to the end of all of your goodness. And you say, God, I have nothing. I'm lost. And I need to be saved. Christian, unless we get honest, unless we open the closet doors of our life and get down to business with God, we're not going to see His miracle. Because He's aware of everything. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The great God in heaven tonight wants to do some miracles today when my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, What is Truth? From Evangelist John Getch. It was originally presented in October of 2003 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.